This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And this is how it ends. In and around Paris, heavily armed paramilitary teams simultaneously went into action today at two hostage situations. Hostages were freed, more people were shot, and jihadists responsible for the violent attack at the Charlie Hebdo magazine were killed. This night in Paris will be an eerie, sleepless coda to a week of violence and tension. While there are no more armed fugitives believed to be at large in France right now, there is certainly the specter of radicalization haunting the night hours and many questions for nations in Europe with sizable Muslim minorities. What are the politics of the aftermath, with the understanding that France has considerable grieving to do in the coming days? Je suis Charlie Hebdo is the chant from many quarters in France and Europe this week, expressing solidarity with the right to publish satirical cartoons, no matter their religious offense. But what other voices will be raised? We're joined now from Paris by Samuel Laurent, a French author and Middle East expert. Samuel Laurent, thanks for joining us. What are your thoughts?
Actually, you know, it's a very confusing time because obviously it's time for mourning. It's time for, you know, thinking about people who died during these attacks. Very surprising one, very striking. Actually, we saw some at the beginning of the week. Then again, a policeman has been killed, and then today, hostage taken in a Jewish shop, in a kosher shop. So therefore, you know, everything is still confused and very messy, but obviously we can draw a couple of conclusions from now. And well, the first pattern that is extremely disturbing is that all the people we have, basically all the people who were involved in those attacks were known by the French intelligence services for jihadi and terrorist activities. Not one of them is, I would say, a newcomer. Some of them have been arrested, convicted of jihadi charges to channel some jihadi into the Iraq war, to fight in the insurgency against the U.S. troops at that time. And actually, some others have been trying to manage to escape some Algerian jihadi from that was imprisoned in a French jail. So basically, all of them were very well known. The second thing that is pretty disturbing is that those people that could be considered as highly dangerous, as extremely violent, extremely radicalized, none of them has been monitored closely to avoid the drama. Even more than that, one of them has been traveling to Yemen, which is basically one of the hotbed of Qaeda, and he's been traveling there on 2011. So the question everybody should ask now, that obviously those people have been neutralized for three of them, and that basically the danger is fading, is how come we had such a gap in our security, regarding also that two of them were on the no-fly list of the U.S. So does that mean the U.S. intelligence is more able to monitor the French jihadi operating in France, and that our services are so inefficient that they're able to let those people at wide, preparing operation, traveling to terrorist zone, training there, and then coming back here and plotting such terror attacks for days with heavy weapons, with rocket launchers, with AK-47s. So honestly, there is a mix between obviously sadness and mourning, as I was saying, but as well a sense of anger against what we would say is a very lax attitude of the French government towards the Islamist problem.
Samuel Laurent, you've certainly put your finger on what is likely to be the outrage in the coming days. Remind us of the special history of France in the colonial period regarding Algeria and how the models of terrorism that plagued France during that period may still be alive and well today, or at least symbols and models.
Well, France has been a friend and foe for a very long time with Algeria. We have a very complex relationship with them, obviously, because they were a colony. They were even more, they were a part of France. So this is very different from other places like Morocco, for example, which was only a protectorate. The feelings are very extreme. And in the 90s, we have saw a war over there that was basically one of the first very large-scale jihad that was leaded against the Algerian government that was at that time very close to the Soviet Union. And we have played, France has played a very ambiguous role, sheltering some opponents and basically distancing himself from the very brutal methods of the regime. But it has backlashed. We have a huge community of Algerians. We have a huge community of people from Morocco, Tunisia, and the Sahel region. And this represents about 10% of the population, 10% of Muslims, mostly from Africa or Middle East and that special part of Africa. Therefore, I would say it's a very touchy issue. We need to address the problem of radical Islam, especially nowadays that Syria and Iraq has flourished, and that community seems to be very attracted by the ideas of radical Islam. We need to address the problem of Islam in France, but this is such a large community, such a politically sensitive community that nobody wants to basically put the debate on the table and try to address the freedom of Muslims, as well as the limit of this freedom, in terms of control, of monitoring for the most radical of them.
He's just returned from Syria, observing the jihadist consequences in that war-torn nation. Samuel Laurent is a French author and Middle East expert. He spoke with us from Paris. Thank you, Samuel.
Thank you very much.